Hey everybody, welcome back to the Gamer Heroes Podcast. Hope everybody's having a good new year. Today in the shop, we got me, we got Mike.
Yo!
And we got my good friend, Ben Cole.
Hello, hello.
And we're going to talk about what we've been playing since the holidays. I think we were on hiatus last week. Holidays are busy.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody that today is actually the worst day of the year because you get off of like that Christmas, New Year's break. And then you're like, oh my God, I have a full day of work ahead of me or a full week of work ahead of me. And then after that, I don't get a holiday until summertime.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's really depressing.
That's rough.
You should stop telling people that.
Yeah.
So we're coming back. I think, I don't even remember what our last episode was. 2 weeks ago, to be honest, feels like ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing the stuff online. It's like, hey, it's those days between Christmas and New Year. Who knows what day it is? But it's 10 a.m. I'm drunk and I eat a lot of cheese.
And my farts are terrible.
Dude, the ride home from vacation was a long one.
Yeah, it's just meat and cheese for 3 days straight.
Not a good thing.
So what did I do? So for gaming this holiday, I played a bunch of stuff. Importantly, I bought a Nintendo Switch, pew, 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 which was the best thing I could have done for that vacation because it's, oh my God, I was just so happy with it. I could, being able to take it anywhere, we took the dock with us, but didn't use it at all, which was totally fine. But I had headphones in and I was listening to that. The sound on the Switch is great. Playing on good headphones was amazing. I was playing Katamari Rerolled, and Katamari Damacy, which was originally released on PlayStation 2, was a cool game, but I never got to play it. I never owned a Sony system myself until PS4. So I got to play that, and it's the same game. It's not a remaster. It's the same game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the same exact game, except it's on the Switch.
So when you were talking about that, I had no idea that they'd even released Katamari on Switch. And I was like, that is one of my favorite games. So like, I'm a big RPG guy, so I like to sink into games. But when it comes to like games that I can just pick up and put down, things like Katamari are exactly what I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, you saying that it's the same game, I was thinking it was maybe a new game for Switch, which I would still be excited for. But Katamari to me is kind of nostalgic because I remember playing it on PS2. So I kind of wanted the same game. So you saying that, I'm definitely buying it.
I spent a lot of time playing that on the way out to Colorado. I listened to a bunch of video game music, and so I listened to a bunch of covers of video game music. And I've heard that one song, whatever it's called, it's the Katamari Damacy song.
Na 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 na.
Dude, there are so many good songs on that album, on that soundtrack. I could not believe it. Where you'd get into a level and a song, the whole. Have you played Katamari at all?
I haven't, and I was actually worried about the same thing. It was released on PS2, and everyone's like, it's the greatest game ever, and you go back and play, and you're like, okay, this is shit, but I get why people like it back in 2001.
You and I have memories of playing Eternal Darkness together.
Oh my God.
Great game when it came out.
Wouldn't even try it.
Did not withstand the test of time. So I'm shocked that it held up so well. Something that sucks, and I've seen this on multiple Switch games now, is that if you don't manually save, it's gone. Your save is just missing. So when Lizzie would come in and boot up Pokemon, oh, there goes the 15 minutes I spent on that level. So, well, I guess I'll do it again, which does feel outdated. But when I learned, what was the other game I just played? It was Smash. I was trying to play like the campaign or whatever, the story mode, the spirit run.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I didn't get very far. But the fact that I booted up and I was like, oh, I must be on the wrong profile because there's no save here. And that wasn't the problem. It was that you have to go in and manually save.
Wait, no.
I sure did.
No. Huh. No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I never saw an autosave function. And when I went in, it was like, oh, now you have one. Like, there wasn't a file. And then there was when I saved
it. I think something's broken with your Switch or with your game. Because I swear to God, this is like that. It's one of those games where it's like you can back out of the game. So that's how I'm unlocking characters right now. So the easiest way to unlock characters is the most boring way, which is to close the game, play a 1v1 match, kill yourself, where you're only playing with one stock.
And then,
yeah, exactly, right? And I'm like, I'm not doing that. So what I've been doing, which also is a little bit cheating, but it's not quite as bad. And it's actually, you know what? I retract my statement. It's okay because I'm already like working harder to get the characters because I'm playing the spirit mode, mm-hmm. which it takes longer to unlock all the characters because if you only play spirit mode, you only get to unlock the characters when you encounter them inside of the spirit mode board game,
which takes a long
time. It takes for fucking ever. Like it's one of those things where it's like, listen, guys, like, I want to play these characters, but...
Dude, you remember... So we bought Dragon Ball FighterZ to play at our tournaments. And if you want to unlock blue hair, Goku and Vegeta, you have to beat the entire story mode. And I looked at the entire...
I thought you just had to go to PlayStation Network and pay
$5. No. So I was happy to discover microtransactions in that because it was like, oh, you have to play through this whole thing. And it was... It was you unlock them by getting like an S rating in arcade mode, which I was never going to be able to do. But you unlock Android 21 by completing the thing. And I went through and I had played like, I don't know, 8 hours of the campaign, something like that. It's not very fun. There's the crux of that game ain't great.
Isn't fun? Really?
I don't think any fighter game campaigns are typically.
That's no, it just, oh, fight these clones. I mean, that's what tons of games
do. I own the game. I've never played the single player.
Don't waste your time. I hear, so there are three different like story modes that I'm not even going to go into what they are, but I was into the first one and it was like, oh, you're 16% done with the first one. I was like, what? I'm not putting that much time in here. And then I found online that you could buy it. And I'm like, oh, I'm spending this money. No way am I playing through this thing. So, yeah. So that was one where it's like, play to the end to unlock this. And I'm like, fuck no, absolutely not. So, yeah, with Smash, I've barely unlocked any characters.
So what you can do in the spirit mode is if you play, I think it's like, I don't know the exact time, but I want to say it's once every 10 minutes. I want to say it's like once every 10 minutes. If you play the spirit mode for like 10 minutes, you can back out. And every time you back out, it'll be like a new challenger has appeared. It's after you back out of the single player game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing, where I've been like unlocking them, which is nice in the spirit mode. If you unlock it in spirit mode, it does unlock it for the rest of the game. But like every 10 minutes, I'll be like, okay, I want another character to play with outside of this, so I'll back out. The problem is, remembering to back out is impossible. I feel like I'm like, every 10 minutes, and then like 45 minutes into playing single player, I'll remember.
And it's not like it stocks up. It should. You know, if you go back, you should have like two or three in a row, but of course it doesn't. You got to actually manually do it every time.
Yep.
Right.
What a pain.
So for like our tournaments coming up, I was talking to John, and I was like, you know, if we have to, there's a way around this. But both of us are like, no, we're not going to do that unless we absolutely have to. But I do kind of like, for how long it's taking, I do kind of foresee us like before our next tournament being like, okay, we're going to have to do this boring thing for like an hour.
Or just like find someone to give our switches to be like, can you guys beat this? Can you unlock all this stuff? Give it, you know, don't come back here until you've beaten this whole game, mister.
My secret was I worked from home when I unlocked them all, and I had like a 5-stock or 10-stock battle against a level 1 computer, and I just let it fight me for 10 minutes, and then I'd pick it up and just kick its ass real quick, and then start all over again.
I wonder if you could do it. Can you do it if you just have like 2 computers fighting against each other?
Probably. I mean, I think it's just 10 minutes game time. And then
I'll tell you what, I'm going to test that out. I'll let you know.
Because that would be fun. Yeah. At least like you get to watch a show while you're waiting.
I'll put like as many CPUs in there as I can.
I'll tell you what, though. They're going to be level 1 because those motherfuckers can fight in this new game. I haven't even tried a level 9, but like level 6 is I have trouble keeping up with sometimes, man.
In the spirit mode, if I'll come across like people or opponents who have really high spirit level, and I've gotten pretty good at figuring out how to maximize my spirits to like win, but there is still some where it's like, I don't even know how anyone beats these guys. Yeah. Like they move around so quick. I feel like it's one of the few times that I notice just my brain working. Like I will make a move and then my guy will just stand there. for like a millisecond, but it feels like an hour because they've already jumped around me three times and hit me 40 times. You know?
Right, right.
Not to mention that some of their advantages going in is like, hey, as soon as this starts, you die immediately, and that's all.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I've spent an incredible amount of time playing Smash Brothers. So I had a Wii U, and I bought it specifically for Smash Brothers. And lo and behold, nobody else in the world bought a Wii U, so I had nobody to play with.
So now you're scratching that itch.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was like, I had the Wii U, and I had my Smash Brothers. I think I played maybe 3 or 4 hours of it before I put it down, and it was like, I mean, if I can't play with anybody, this has just lost a lot of the fun for me.
Yeah.
And now on Switch, it's really scratching the itch. Like, it's doing a good job. Like, they did a phenomenal job with this game. It feels like, so I know everybody really likes the GameCube version. I loved the N64 version, played the shit out of the N64 version. And it feels like I'm playing that again. Like, nice. They did a good job of, like, pulling that through. Obviously, there's a bunch of new stuff to it, but I do feel like it's at least, like, it's satisfying me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to catch up to the N64 version because I kind of got that in the college days because mm-hmm. I didn't have an N64 growing up. But I've always been a Melee person, and it's a lot like, it kind of feels like all of them, like the best qualities of all of them combined mm-hmm. put into this one. Now, that being said, I still don't have, I ordered one of those stupid adapters for the GameCube controllers because that's like I can't play without mm-hmm. that really. And I don't know if anyone else tried and went through this struggle. They were out of them literally, absolutely, seriously everywhere.
Yeah.
Nintendo, am I right?
Yeah, right. I mean, that happened with the Wii U version, too, because they had the GameCube controllers for Wii U, and they were sold out forever, too, which is funny because nobody's playing Wii U, but somehow somebody's buying
Wii U controllers. About like 16 each or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, if you tried to buy the nunchucks for the original Wii when that came out, it's like, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Nintendo has such, well, I've said this a million times, the podcast, I'm a broken record, but I mean, Nintendo never, it takes them so long to learn any lesson. And it's like, if they're intentionally creating the scarcity to the detriment of their reputation, why haven't they fixed it?
I mean, I'm sure they have a reason. My thought is, I'm going to get the adapter and I'm going to pick up Smash Bros. Again. I haven't been really playing it, but I guarantee you your ass, well, I will have a party over. Mm-hmm. We'll have 4 people, as many as I can get on the screen, and we're going to play, and I'm going to kick everyone's ass on it. But I haven't touched it in like 2 weeks because I've got to use this stupid little mini. I can't really do it for the podcast listeners, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what do you have, like the Joy-Con connector thing?
I will say, after playing a lot of Katamari, the way that I have to squeeze my thumb in at an angle compared to the rest of my hand, totally unnatural, hurts after a while. Where like, even just me holding that stick down, boy, that does not feel good.
Mm-hmm. First world problems, am I right?
Yeah.
So like, one of my big things about the Switch is just how I love the Joy-Cons. I love being able to hold them in both hands. Like, I'm talking about like when you're holding them separated. I love being able to like lounge out on the couch and just be a total shit human being and like, just, I can do whatever I want from all angles.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. I just took them off. I'm like, is this going to be worth anything? And it was so much better.
See, so with Smash, this is the first game where I was like, oh, no, it'll be fine. I don't need a pro controller. Since I didn't play, I played on GameCube, but I didn't play so much to where I had that, like, that need to play with the GameCube controller. And I was like, no, it'll be fine. I can do it on the Joy-Cons. So I didn't buy a controller. I owned the game for multiple days, played it maybe an hour and a half because it was so uncomfortable playing Smash with just the Joy-Cons. Mm-hmm. And then I got a pro controller for Christmas and then immediately put 20 hours on that game. Like it was a game changer. Like it was the first game I played on Switch where I was like, okay, I can't use the Joy-Cons for this.
And even if I tried to use the Joy-Cons for that, there's no way I'd be lounging out, stretching out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be sitting there as if it were right there in my hand anyway.
Yep.
No doubt.
But so other than that though, other than Smash, let's move on from Smash.
Mm.
What else have you played?
Obviously, I did Katamari. I'll scoot off of that in a second, but I really can't overstate how much I enjoy the soundtrack. The style of that game is so goofy and irreverent, and the soundtrack is perfect for it. where, oh my gosh, you just have, well, first of all, it's not on Spotify. I had to go look it up on YouTube, which really made me feel like I was playing an old ass game.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even find it on Spotify. But it's just so goofy. Every single part of it is goofy. I mean, the gameplay, the characters in it, the soundtrack, every part of it is just this goofy ass style that I don't know if I've ever played any other game quite like it. So you should both pick it up. It's fantastic.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, one of the things that I love about that game is that there are certain games that you play where you're in like the cutscene or whatever, and you're just mashing the button to move on so you can play some more. In Katamari, it's like, I just want to see what stupid shit the king says. Like, yeah. In between
and
each level.
And when he speaks, the, like, I forget what it's called, but the sound it makes, the, like, synth sound
mm-hmm.
that represents his voice is a record scratch. It's a constant...
Yep.
And it's like, who came up with this thing? Like, who decided? Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's like playing a Japanese game show.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And even the way the king of all cosmos talks to you is so fucking goofy. It does feel like a Japanese game show.
It is a fantastic game. That was one of my favorite games when we were living in the dorms in college to play, like, couch co-op with people. Because you just...
Oh,
you play that game for hours.
I need a second controller to do that because I would love to. I regretted that I didn't pick up a second controller because I wanted to unlock... I wanted to play more Smash, but I ended up enjoying the other games I got so much that I barely even played it. But my intent was to have two controllers and then do co-op with my girlfriend, and we would just beat up on computers together.
Can you not use the... I mean, it's kind of a pain in the ass, but can you not use the individual...
You can, but...
Kind of a pain in the
ass.
That's
how I feel about that, yeah.
Fair enough.
And it wasn't appealing enough to get her interested, because she... well, let's move on from Katamari. Lizzie played the shit out of Let's Go Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike talked about Let's Go Pokemon a few podcasts back and made me realize that, like, I thought that game was Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Pokemon Go somehow on your console. Did not understand it. It's kind of the same way that you guys interpreted the Katamari, like, remake, so to speak. The picture in my head was not the picture of reality. And so after you sold me on it, Lizzie picked it up for vacation because her brother is really into it and they like to play different games together. So she was like, hell yeah, I'll play this thing. Well, gee, many Christmas. There was one point during break where I had to trade her nights on the Switch because she would not put it down. Like every single moment that she had her hands free, I could tell she was looking around. It's the way that, you know, she knows I'm attached to my phone these days. And like, it's, I described it to her. It was like, I'm pretty sure I just saw what you see when I can't find my phone.
She's like, why don't you play Oxenfree again?
Right. And, she actually picked up Oxenfree too. She beat it. And I'm the dummy who never finished it. But, we were literally playing Cards Against Humanity with her family. And there was one round where she was the judge, the person who has to pay the most attention. And she turns and grabs the game and she starts beating this gym leader. I'm like, no, listen, you got to pay attention. You got to pick one. So I really liked how much she was into it. She was so into Pokemon All Break. And it was cool because it's the original game. You know, it's basically a yellow version.
Did she play the old ones back on
No.
Game Boy Color?
Yeah, so this was her first time ever really experiencing this. And hell yeah. If a game today can give someone a totally quality experience just like I had when I was a kid, and they can enjoy it in a new way as an adult, hell yeah.
Well, I think that speaks to the longevity, like the vision of Pokemon as a franchise from the get-go, because that's the first, you know, that was the very first thing that came out with it, and it hasn't changed. I mean, it's exactly the same game with, you know, a few couple bells and whistles that are different, but the core of it is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And they've done the same thing with Pokemon cards, and they have just laughed all the way to the bank.
Yeah,
selling you the same shit every single year, and I'm here for it. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, there are things about the games after Red and Blue, after Yellow. I can't remember if Gold and Silver had this, but I remember they started like introducing like berries and like things that Pokemon silver. Could hold. Mm-hmm. And that is when it started to lose me, just because I'm like, okay, like I want to deal with the Pokemon. I want to deal with all this other shit. Yeah, exactly. Because
like you could do that in the old games where it's like, oh, if you beat a specific type of monster, your speed will go up more, and you can blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I can appreciate that that's a thing that exists, but it's in the background. It's something that if you're a very serious player, you figure out and then you manipulate. Cool. If that's your style, if that's your MO, do it. But when it brought that kind of min-max stuff into the front, where it's just like, oh, if you give your Pikachu Zap Cannon or whatever, Zap Cannon's a move, I don't know, there's something you hold, charge up their electric moves. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, this is, I mean, I get why this could be cool, but, you know, this stuff's all weird. And then there's that move called Thief, where you straight up steal the other person's item. And I was like, I'm never going to play with another human because they're going to steal my thing and I'm going to break my controller. I'm going to break my game.
Yeah, but they don't have any of that stuff in this version, which is nice. So, like, they still have berries, like, but the berries are like Pokemon Go, where you feed the berries to make them easier to catch. Mm-hmm. I said this last time, too, but I wanted so much to hate this game when I heard about it before I played it. And, oh, my God, after I played it, it was just like everything that they changed was just a quality of life thing that just made the game so much better. And it was, I don't know,
I will say, okay, Nintendo is really bad at fixing their problems when they make something new. They don't take lessons from something old and apply them to something new. What they do really well is take something they already made, remake it, and then take the lessons and apply them. So, like, I'll always talk about my brother when he The Wind Waker is one of my favorite video games. And it's a good game. You know, there's some issues, but whatever. The game's great. Well, then my brother was like, oh, you have to play this. It's so much better. You know, it's got this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I never ended up playing it, but I watched him play it. And the quality of life changes were incredible. Whereas stuff that I didn't even realize wasn't great, they had dramatically improved on. And it's frustrating that there's such a huge discrepancy between the things that Nintendo learns and how they apply them. Because, like, I love that the new Pokemon has amazing quality of life changes. But why don't you, like, sell more GameCube adapters, you know? Stuff like that. It's like, you guys constantly have hardware shortages.
Well,
you have the capacity to learn. Now, please choose to apply these things in with such success as you have with something like Let's Go Pokemon.
To go back to that, about, like, the whole, like, Nintendo only releasing so much hardware, that is just a brilliant sales strategy, right? So, if I need a new Xbox controller, I don't need it, but I know that I want another one at some point. I know that every single time I go into a store, they'll always have that controller, right? So I'm going to wait for the sale to happen. If I need GameCube controller, because I know that I'm about to get Smash Brothers, even though I know that I may not play it with friends for a few weeks or something, I'm going to be worried about the stock that every store has, like, when I want it. I never have to really worry about the Xbox controllers going out of stock because they're going to have just a million of them. Mm-hmm. If I go in and they don't have the GameCube controller I'm looking for or something like that, then now not only do I not have it, but it's like ruined my night with my friends. So I'm not waiting for the sales. I'm ready to foot out all of the cash right away to buy whatever it is. That's one of those things where it's like Nintendo knows that. They're like, well, if we take all of our hardware and we make it hard to buy, they're not going to wait for the sales. And they're going to pay $80 for Joy-Cons. I'm still pissed about that. Is that
how much I have to pay for a new Joy-Con?
Yes.
Dude,
you know why? Because they're like, well, it's technically two controllers.
Oh. Yeah. For real?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just spent way too much money buying stuff that was on sale over Christmas. Because if it's... I don't like to buy games that aren't on sale because I can save so much money, but also I spent so much money. Mm-hmm. I was just like, and this indie, and these two. So, oh man, I'm glad they're all single player.
Yeah.
Oh boy, but yeah, I mean,
I think it's just one of those things where it's like, people probably want at least two sets of Joy-Cons just in case they're in that weird, like, Nintendo commercial scenario where they're on the roof of a building and four people they were just playing basketball with actually want to play a video game.
I will say, I have seen multiple people at Up Down or local arcade bar playing Switch Yeah, they were single. They were single player games, but playing the Switch on the bar, drinking a beer, mm-hmm. and the Capcom Cup, the fighting game world tournament, was just a few weeks ago. It was just before Christmas, and two of the guys there each brought their Switch, and so they were playing on the IFC thing or whatever. So that was kind of fun to watch. But it's like, yeah, I mean, I've been at Tapcade before, and pulled out my Switch because I was like, I'm not going to read a book at the bar, but I will play phone games, but if I'm going to play phone because games...
fuck books.
It's 2018. Oh, damn it. It's 2019.
Oh, man. Well, who knows what's up for this
year. Got to update that joke.
Yeah. But yeah, so I definitely have brought my Switch out at the bar before because it's like compact enough to feel reasonable. Because to me, that stuff doesn't feel that antisocial to me because I'm willing to play Hearthstone at the bar. So that's, you know, not that much of a leap. But to that end... Again, I'm so glad I bought a Switch for vacation because I love that Lizzie and I were able to take turns with it. Like, I definitely need an SD card. I forgot about the storage as an issue because I already ran out and more than half of my games are not downloaded.
Oh, I absolutely buy hard copies for the Switch, which is crazy. I thought I gave up hard copies as, like, a New Year's resolution from like 2010 or something. Yeah. And now I have no digital copies of anything on the Switch. Although I will say, I keep thinking about it. You keep saying traveling. Have you been on a flight with a Switch? It's the greatest thing ever. I have these amazing, like, happened on these $300 noise-canceling active headphones from Bose. I should be a commercial for these things. They're the best thing ever. And I plug them into my Switch. I have a little bit of flight phobia.
I bought those for Christmas. It's
unbelievable. And then you click them on.
Playing Katamari Damacy with those things on, I was like, oh! There was one point where there's this menu screen, kind of, where... there's like this chorus of voices stacked on each other. And there isn't another sound. There isn't another track like that anywhere else in the game, but it's this real rich vocal sound. And so I would just have my headphones plugged in and I just set it down. And then I literally at one point started playing Stardew Valley with the sound on from that because it just sounded so good.
It's incredible.
So good.
And again, on the flight, I always get, you know, checked in, of course, super late, and I'm behind the jet engines and everything sucks, and there's some kids screaming and kicking your seat, and it's just all gone. You put those things on, and you're playing. I always have Zelda. I'm never going to beat Zelda because it's my flight game, and I'm not even – I've maybe scratched maybe part of the surface of this huge game, and I'll never beat it, and I'll be sitting in there, and I'll just have it on. The music's great. Everything's great. And then my wife will ask me something. I'll take my headphones off, and I forget that there's a lion screaming in my ear the whole time because it's just such a huge difference. And the Switch just like, I mean, you don't need internet connection, and you're just going the whole time. I love it.
And they're full games. They're like, I love Stardew Valley, but it feels like a mobile game, even though that's also a Switch game, and it came out on other platforms like ages before that. But, you know, having such a compact but full quality game experience wherever you go is awesome. So like to be able to take that with me, it was nice that it's like, it's not nearly as obtrusive as a console. You know, I didn't have to take up the whole TV when the whole group wanted to do stuff. Even if it was like put on fucking Harry Potter movie, you know, it's like taking up the TV can be a problem. So having the ability to play on a TV or not is sweet.
Yeah. And it's on the road too. Like my previous flight game was, I don't know, fucking mobile chess or something. Right. I mean, there's no comparison for that type of thing. I think the Switch, I don't know if they even knew that that was going to be that big of a jump because I haven't had a DS or anything, you know, but like Game Boy, just not even close. The Switch is just this massive full console games. And yeah, you just play it forever. I love it. Good investment, my friend. Good job.
I am so happy with it.
Hey there, I'm Batman. And I wanted to tell you about my friends at the Screen Heroes Podcast. They deliver sweet justice in the form of discussing movies, television, and me. They love my movies. Every single one of them. Yes, even that one. Sometimes they even have me on as a guest, which is thrilling. You can find them at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts. Live on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Gotham time. If you can't tune in live, the new shows go up on places like Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Gotham Radio, Themyscira Live, and Blog Talk Radio. Now, back to your regularly scheduled Batcast.
So, as far as a recommendation goes,
yes.
I Am Setsuna is... Have you heard of that game?
The name is familiar. Is it older? Or is it?
I think it was released... I want to say it was released on PS4 first.
Okay.
And then when the Switch came out, they re-released it on the Switch. And it's a fun game. Like, it harkens back a little bit to Final Fantasy, but... In that you have, like, your limit breaks, but it's not quite a limit break the way that you're used to in Final Fantasy. It requires a little bit more work from the user. So, like, if you're making an attack and you hit... I can't remember which button it is. It's like X or something on the Joy-Con, but...
What? No, I need to know which button this is.
Yeah, I think it's X. It's either X or Y. It's one of the two. And you hit that button while you're attacking. If your bar is filled up, then that's when it like lets you limit break. And it happens way more often than it would in Final Fantasy. So like when you're in a long battle, it's almost strategic how you're choosing when to do your limit break, because one of the things is that your limit break bar fills up anytime you're waiting to attack. So you could switch over to another character and prolong another character's attack to allow them to fill up their bar. So it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. The one thing that I will say, though, is that if you're going to play I Am Setsuna, you have to be ready for a depressing game. Because the whole thing around I Am Setsuna is that Setsuna is the chick that you're trying to like take on this journey so that she can sacrifice herself. Because she is the sacrifice that keeps all of the monsters from, like, overtaking the world.
Are you sure this is not just Final Fantasy X?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Okay. So, but, yeah, it's like you traveling with her. It's not as depressing as it could be because she wants to do the journey. She knows that it's an honor. Like, her family is, like her mom was a sacrifice before her or whatever. So
this
like
is Final Fantasy
X. Yeah, pretty much. But it's still amazing.
Okay.
Like it's a fantastic game. It does harken back to Final Fantasy.
Sure.
But I mean, Final Fantasy nostalgia is fun.
Oh yeah. Well, that was when I was told holiday nostalgia was going to be kind of part of a theme here. That was the first thing I thought of because I grew up broke as shit.
Yeah.
And I never had like my family had a computer and I played like Diablo 1 my entire life growing up. And then for, I think it was 2001, I want to say, I was probably about 11, my uncle got me a PlayStation 2 and Final Fantasy X, and it blew my fucking mind. Because that was like fresh. That was the Christmas it came out. Completely didn't expect it. And that might have been, you know, that might as well have been photo real graphics at the time.
Yep.
I mean, now you look back and it's like hilarious, and Final Fantasy X, I've been told, kind of blows, but I beat the crap out of it several times over. Because I love it. And a lot of people kind of gave me crap for that and a couple of Facebook arguments about what the best Final Fantasy is. But yeah, no, I still to this day really do like it. And I think that game blew me away.
I remember playing Final Fantasy IX and watching the cutscenes in Final Fantasy IX and thinking, this must be the feeling people had when they played Star Fox for the first time. You know, like the first like 3D game where you're like flying, like graphics don't get better than this. You know, like this is it. This is the precipice. And then like watching those cutscenes and being like, are these real people? Like,
yeah. I remember my buddy across the street, I think I've told this story before. I was playing Majora's Mask. I remember even where I was and he's like, hey, I got an Xbox. And I'm like, what's an Xbox? And he's like, come on, we'll play this game. My brother and I got stuck on this part, but we'll get through it. And we went through his Halo. We played Halo. And I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And what they got stuck in is at the very beginning of the game, you have to crouch. Well, the game doesn't tell you how to crouch. And we hadn't owned a system where there was an R3 button. So we were like, we've pressed every single button. We don't know how to do this. And it was before the internet age. So we were like, we give up.
Get one of those stick guides.
Yeah. So we finally accidentally did it, and then we were able to accidentally recreate it. And then we were like, oh, now this is the game. So that was a funny thing. But that was me growing up being like, oh, so this is a cool thing. Like, Zelda's pretty cool, but this is beautiful.
Oh, man. And, yeah, like, the first time, actually, I played it again for the remaster, so it's probably a little better, I assume. But the scene where if you've played it, Titus and Yuna are getting it on in Final Fantasy X, where it's like they're not, you know, it's not like official because it's got, you know, gotta, can't get the mature rating.
Yeah, yeah, PG-13.
Right, and so you get in the pool, and they're like all doing this weird, like totally banging dance thing. And it looks still today, at least maybe the remaster helps, but it looks pretty damn good. And at the time when I first saw that, I absolutely had to look up: are these real people? Because this has to be real. Yep. And now you're like, man, I was a fucking idiot.
Speaking of like shitty old game experiences, like, and specifically with the first Diablo. So my parents would never pay for internet. So when I was younger, the best internet we had was Net Zero, and Net Zero had like, it was free internet, but the catch was that you always had like an ad bar up at the top of your screen. I almost feel like I've talked about this before, but anyway, moving on. The banner, if you ever clicked on the banner, it would take you to whatever ad it was showing. And the banner would show through whatever game you were playing. It didn't show through right. Well. It was like all pixelated and shitty. Yep.
You're like, what the hell is this thing creeping up on me?
So I had to learn how to play the first Diablo online by never clicking on the top fourth of the screen. So everywhere I went, I was like, no, I memorized where I could move my mouse and click below the banner. And it was right next to my character. So I remember it just being impossible to play, but I made it work. You know,
that's commitment.
Desperate times. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like the only time you would ever click on the ad was when there were so many enemies that it was like it was a big deal for you to be clicking correctly. And then like I'd click on the ad, get pulled out, go back in, I'm dead.
You know? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Wait, no. Yeah. Yeah, so
those were terrible times.
I'll save my Into the Breach talk for next time because I want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. I would like to talk about Into the Breach. It looks like a fun game. I don't want to get into it. But I guess my big thing is like when I was looking at Into the Breach, I've been looking at it forever. I've been wanting to play it. My big thing was like I know that these are the same guys that did FTL, and FTL was great and very fun. But I look at the maps of Into the Breach, and it looks like small maps. And I'm like, is this enough map for me to have fun?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
yes, it is.
So John's talked to me about it, too. And he's like, no, yeah, it's definitely an absolutely amazing game.
Dude, so the thing is, like, they're all so you start you pilot three mechs. You control three mechs that each have pilots that level up. As you progress, you can potentially unlock different upgrades for your mechs. And I kept trying to go for fancy weapons and I kept getting my ass kicked. And I realized I just need to go to the basics and upgrade health and how many squares you can move in a turn. And I dramatically improved after that. So I started to get the swing of it, but you complete these islands that all have different environments that all have, like, you kind of sort of get to pick which map and which objective you have. So you remember, like, I really like games that do this. You remember Star Fox 64.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to play the hard mode, you didn't select a difficulty that said hard mode. You had a thing in each level where if you did the thing, how well you did basically dictated if you went on the hard mode, the middle mode, or the easy mode. And so in this, it's not something you do in a map, but based on how well you do determines how hard of a challenge you can choose for yourself next time. Because if you choose an extra hard map and you were not ready for it, you probably just threw that entire playthrough, which is like an hour or two. Because it's hard. I mean, the game, I had been describing it as a tactics game. It's all turn-based. You move and then enemies spawn and move and do all this stuff. But every enemy always shows what their attack is about to be. So you can manipulate the enemies to hit each other, which is immensely satisfying. But you deal damage and you knock the characters around so that they hit each other. It's really not a game about killing giant space bug aliens. It's a game about protecting these buildings from the aliens. So really your objective is to make sure your buildings don't take hits because that is very bad. So sometimes you have to either take damage on your mech, which will heal at the end of the battle and no big deal. Or I haven't gotten to this point, but I've gotten real close. you might have to sacrifice your pilot, and I'm not quite sure what happens when that happens, but I've gotten close to it where I've been like, okay, I think I have, like, if I'm going to salvage this run, I think I have to kill this dude. I hope I find another pilot who can go into a mech. But they have all this stuff where once a game, you can restart your turn. So if you do something stupid and didn't realize that, oh, that thing you obviously were gonna do obviously was going to hurt your own building. Oh, crap. Well, you get one restart, which is nice because I had been describing the game as a tactics game, but really it's more like a puzzle game. Because there was a time on the way back from vacation where I was sitting looking at the same screen for 20 whole minutes where I was looking at this and I was like, okay. Like, there was so much shit going on where I was like, I know my buildings are going to take damage and I don't have damage to take. Like, I cannot take damage or I'm going, this will be it. And I've been on this run for a long time. And so I spent like 15 minutes looking at this thing and I was like, okay, here we go. And I did it and it played out. And there was something in hindsight that was totally obvious and I didn't see it and it would have ended the game and I immediately restarted it. And I was like, crap, I just spent 15 minutes looking at this thing.
You said it sounds like a puzzle, but that sounds like textbook strategy to me. That's like every time I get killed in chess and I'm just like, oh shit, that was the right thing.
So go, all right, I'm going to go read The Art of War. I'll be back.
Yeah. Right. So I like that it lets you go back and I found a pilot who, some pilots have special abilities and stuff. There are a ton of pilots to unlock. But one of them I kept. So the idea of the game is aliens have already won the war. And you go into the breach. You open up a breach, which is a little time portal, and you go back to before they beat you. So you get to take your experienced pilot back to the start. Your mech's all reset, but your pilot has some stats he carries with him that you can start over with. So you can pick one pilot, goes back in time, and starts over. So I found a pilot whose special ability was you get two turn resets in a game. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm new at this and still not that great. This gives me an opportunity to mess up with a lot of forgiveness. And so that was easily my best run was when I found that guy. So I'm going to keep playing through with that guy. But what you do is after you win, you can complete these challenges and you'll unlock new mech sets. So I've unlocked a whole totally different set of mechs, but I haven't played it yet. And I'm excited because I was just listening to Giant Bomb coverage of their Game of the Year stuff. And they were talking about some of the other stuff. And it's funny because I had some of the ways that I had described this game to my girlfriend. They almost verbatim said the things I said. Where I told her, I was like, man, if you looked over at me when we were in the car, you would have seen me staring at the same exact screen for over 20 minutes before I made my move. And whew, I'm glad I spent 20 minutes because that's the only way that I survived that thing. Because it's very... It can be simple, but it can also be complicated, but it's so rewarding when you do that stuff. It's that you'll discover something new, like I'll have an option to get a new weapon that's like totally different from the one I've been using. And I look at it, I'm like, why would anyone ever use this weapon? Like, how could this possibly be a good weapon? And then I was like, well, I'm doing really well this round. I'll buy it just to mess around. And I get it, and I'm like, wow, this is like the best weapon. You know? So it's nice because I'm so excited about all the stuff I have yet to play because I can tell I've barely touched the surface of how you can play this game. And every time I find something new, I feel skeptical, but it feels so good to figure out how a new mechanic works and interact with it in a different way because this game just keeps on giving. I've told you I'm going to spend a lot of time this year playing this game because this is the kind of game that I could just like set down for 6 months or 3 months or 2 months or 1 month and pick up and feel like yesterday was the last day I played.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the highest praise I have of this whole game, like, well, the best thing that they have done is every single bit of information that you could possibly need to execute your turn is available to you. There is a button on that controller, playing on Switch, that gives you, it tells you in what order the enemies attack, which is very important. And it took me a while. I didn't realize there's a button. It says, press this button to see turn order. And I just didn't see it. It was right there in front of me. I just didn't read it. But once I saw that, I was like, wow, my only gripe was that they didn't show turn order. And here it is. And every time you get a new move, there's a little video that shows you how the move works. You can try out the new move. I'm not sure if you can do it before you buy it, but if you have bought a new upgrade or item or something, you can go into a little simulation where you can try it out. So you don't just go into a round and fuck it up and be like, wow, that would have been a great weapon if I hadn't wasted 2 hours getting it and then losing it immediately. You know, so it just does a lot of quality of life things where it seems like these guys really play tested this stuff and made it fucking accessible. Just, I do not like turn-based games that much. Darkest Dungeon was the first one that I grabbed onto, and I grabbed onto it tight. And so to have another one, like, man, my eyes have been opened to turn-based games now because I am loving this resurgence of this style of game that has enough new elements that I don't feel like I have to go back and learn 2 decades worth of knowledge that a lot of my peers have. So,
do you think that's as nuanced and, you know, strategic as Gang Beasts?
Another fan favorite.
We talked about, I'm not a regular listener. This is one that occupied some of my time.
I don't know if we've talked about it. We've definitely played it.
Game is fucking hilarious. This is one, we don't have to dive into it, but I keep thinking about it. And I feel like I'm doing a disservice to anytime someone can hear my voice and I don't say the words Gang Beasts and encourage them to buy it. Basically, if you're like me and you want to go in totally blindfolded to any game experience with the full knowledge you're going to have fun, skip the next like 30-second description here. But if you're a little more skeptical about spending $15 on a shitty independent game, then just keep in mind that what you got to do is you got to get really drunk. You have to. I mean,
characters already are.
Yeah. The characters. So what happens is you have like up to 4, I guess, characters. It's at least 2. You have to have at least 2.
I think on PC you can have like 8. I'll have to look it up, but on
no
PC,
way.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I'll look it up, but it is a crazy ass.
It's this weird, ignorant little session, like 35-second session game, where you try to win. I can't even describe it. You have a drunk, baby, clay, fat character that's trying to like WrestleMania the other 5 drunk baby clay fat characters and throw them off of / punch them and drop kick them and stuff off of buildings to win. Whoever's the last one still alive.
What's the flash
game? Like this. Okay, I like this. So I looked up Gang Beasts on Google. So I'm on gangbeasts.game. And the first thing on here, it shows a bunch of people in a wrestling ring doing just some weird shit. And it says, "Welcome to Beef City."
Yep.
Gang Beasts is a silly multiplayer game with surly gelatinous characters, brutal melee. Oh, I like all the things they've put in melee fight sequences and absurdly hazardous environments set in the fictional metropolis of Beef City.
I did not realize that was set in Beef City.
Yeah. Me neither. The more you know.
So it's like what was that flash game back in the day with the keyboard, the QWERTY like runner guy?
Oh man,
Quop. It was something where, like,
that rings a bell, but
you had to move his legs and hit certain buttons on the keyboard, and people could go like 5 meters before failing.
It's Smash Brothers for illiterate assholes. Yeah. Is what it is. It's like there's no redeeming quality about this game except that you will laugh your ass off the entire time you're playing it.
It's almost like a turn-based game because you will spend time just grappling onto each other and not knowing how to win.
Yeah,
it's
like
you're just like holding on to the environment and someone's grabbing both of your legs and like trying to pull you to the edge of a cliff. And you're just like holding on. You're literally like horizontal with the ground while this person is just tugging your feet toward a cliff. And if you let go, like you can just grab them and you can both fall off the cliff. All kinds of stupid shit happens all the time. And of course, everyone is dressed as like a pile of poop or like a grandma or an astronaut or
like Rick and Morty or a construction worker.
Yeah, it's just absurd. I mean, it should almost be rated M for mature just because of like how
the profanity that's going to leave the player's lips.
Yeah. So.
It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, that was one Christmas hit wonder that we had this year that we were playing for more time than I care to admit. What, 48 straight hours or something like that?
You seriously did?
No, when you came over.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a good time.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was 24 hours. That was when we stayed up literally the whole night.
Ridiculous amount of time.
Speaking of that, Cluster Truck, that game is terrible, and I love it.
And, yeah, that's Cluster Truck.
It's vaguely a platformer. That's just like, did you ever play like Quake 3 arena, mm-hmm. yeah. where you just run around, jump in, and you're just super fast speed, and everything's like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. It's that, but you're running across, there are like hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks that are all like driving together toward the end goal.
Like big old semis.
And if you fall off the top of a truck, you lose. So you got to stay on top of trucks, and you're running like 10 times the speed they're driving, and you got to jump from truck to truck and go in the air, and you can kind of get upgrades and shit. You don't really have to try to get to the end. And it's kind of easy at first. Like the first time you play, you're like, okay, I kind of get it. And then they start adding like trucks flying at you from all directions and shit.
And at all times, like, meep, meep.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I'm the asshole with these 50,000 trucks just colliding into each other. Yeah, the truck game, what's it called? Cluster Trucks. That's a great, stupid indie game that you can get 15 minutes worth of play out of.
So I like that. When I was talking to our friend Christina, I mentioned it to her and she was like, that game sucks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I bought it on Steam and I did it for anything. I was like, there's your problem. That game is made for a computer, so you should not play it on a computer. Because like the jankiness of like the biggest problem with any console game is that you have to take your thumb off the stick to press a button. So the only two buttons in that game are jump and aim. So you when you're playing a console, you can only choose one. So it just makes it this goofy slapstick thing where you're just like, what do I do? So I was like, that's how you're supposed to enjoy that game. You're not supposed to beat it.
You asshole. Right. What do you think? You're supposed to beat the game.
Yeah, so that's fun. So yeah, I was happy this holiday to play a bunch of games because I had the luxury of not driving on a road trip.
Nice.
Which I like driving on a road trip, but man, having that whole time to play Switch, that was pretty cool. Played that, picked up Hearthstone again, like really sunk my teeth into it. Played a bunch of Stardew Valley, finally just hit spring on year 2 for the first time, which is exciting. That game's pretty great.
That's another thing that when I was thinking about the holiday podcast part, I was thinking kind of prospectively, like moving forward, because I'm an adult now and I'm married and shit starts to suck really quick. And now I don't have any free time ever. And this holiday season, I was off almost 2 straight weeks of work. And, you know, we're traveling, going to Illinois 7 hours each way, doing family crap and whatnot. But there's never, I don't think, until I have kids probably, so maybe this is the last one, who knows. But there's never really a chance during my everyday life to just marathon game ever anymore. The holidays, when we got done and we came back for Christmas Day and had, like, lunch with my mom and sent her on her merry little way with her new presents, we just fucked around all day. I probably played 8 hours of video games and just sat on the couch and vegged. And I'm like, if that could be my holiday season going forward from now on, great. I don't need new shiny games for holiday season. I just want some time to myself to just be like, haha, no one is going to email me. I can just live my damn life.
Right.
The way I think it's a magical way that the break landed this year, because it was like you get the first part of the week off. So like, you know, nobody else is going to be at work the like rest of the week. So you're just like, you know what? I'm actually going to take this holiday off. I remember at the end of this break, I walked up to Kelly, my wife, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this again, because like, I need something to do, because like I got to the point where I was like, I think I could just live doing this forever and become like 600 pounds. And like, like if I don't have like some kind of purpose, like it's not a good thing. Like,
I got bored. It's crazy. And I've never in my life. I mean, okay, maybe in my life, but certainly not since like going to college and being a human. Never have I been like, man, I kind of want to stop playing video games now.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I was like, damn, I don't know if I can marathon shit the way I used to when I was like a WoWhead. And
I had
it
nuts.
I remember when I was in high school, you know, we used to play a lot of World of Warcraft together.
A lot of it.
And I remember I went on a trip to Europe, which was insane. And I'm so glad my mom paid money for that, because like, I was like, what the fuck? But I'm so glad I did that. And so I was gone just experiencing all this crazy shit for a while. And I came back and I'm like, all right, well, that was pretty fun, but I'm ready to play a little bit of World of Warcraft back in my gym. And I sat down for like 5 minutes and I like checked my mail and I checked the auction house. And I was like, man, I think I'm going to go outside. I was like, this is weird. I've never felt this way before. I'm going outside.
You know? Yeah, at the end of this break, I walked up to Kelly and I was like, so what needs to be done in the house?
She's like, wait, 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 wait.
She's like, wait, who the fuck are you?
Are you? Yeah, all right. That's exactly
it. Do we still have that joint compound in the basement? Because like, I think I'm going to fix that wall.
Seriously. I've got like all these woodworking projects and shit. I have so many stupid hobbies, and I started getting frustrated and bored with my go-to games like Overwatch and crap and everything. I'm trying to play and I'll just get my ass kicked by somebody and I'll just get mad. I'm like, why am I doing this? This is not fun. And Witt's like, you need a hobby. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna, I do whatever I need is not another hobby. But yeah, I made her like a desk so that she could ride her bike and like, cause we speaking of WoW, we're trying to get back. I'm trying to get her to play a little bit of it here and there. Cause it's more casual friendly now. And I literally stood up from gaming and I was like, man, I'm bored of this, and made her like a desk for her bike, which is like, she probably wants me to have marathon gaming sessions all the time. Yeah, yeah. Let's be realistic. But
hey, if you can include each other, I'm so excited. Lizzie and I played, even with this, as much as we were each enjoying the Switch, some of my favorite moments of vacation were when she and I came back home after we had been like kind of switched out. Once we had like the TV in front of us, we had the PlayStation and all that stuff. We started watching BoJack Horseman over the break, which is a funny story because I gave that show a chance with the pilot years ago. And I was like, wow, what a bad show.
Yeah. I feel like I've only seen the pilot like years ago as
My gosh. And I had a bunch of friends who were like, this show's great. Yeah. Yeah. The pilot's not great. Watch the rest of it. Because now I'm like, this is a really good show. Now I see what people like about this one. But we threw that up and we're just sitting on the couch, you know, on either side of the armrests, and we're each playing Stardew Valley. And we're just like, oh, dude, check out this secret I just found. It's like, oh, yeah, you got that? Well, check this out. And so that was so cool because, you know, we're not playing together. If we were on Switch, ironically, we could play together. There's a multiplayer update that hasn't hit phones yet. Hopefully it will. But also, I mean, we're doing great right now. But it's cool playing the same game, being at the same point, because, like, you go through days of the year. Each month has 28 days in it. And then, you know, it's the whole year. So that's a lot of time. So it's nice that we've been playing at a similar rate, that we're still constantly discovering new things together. You know, so one of us isn't just miles ahead of each other. But that's really rewarding. It's nice to just be able to share this thing. Even when we're not even talking to each other, just being in the same space, sharing this thing. That's also not a TV show. It's something that we're sharing independently.
And that same ethos is kind of why I wanted to jump back into WoW, because ever since, like, I don't know, the second expansion or something, where I just got balls deep in, well, it's a little bit graphic, but you know, I got really into the game. I'll just say it that way now. And then, like, you know, they changed crap and it killed off all my progress and it kind of turned me off to it. I've never really gotten into it and I never really was tempted to get back into it. But now, having a wife who's like a little bit of a gamer, she's not like hardcore or anything by any means, I thought she would enjoy it. And I hope she's enjoying it as much as I do, because when we play, we're like 15 or something. But when we play together, I love it.
Do the raids start at level 15?
Sure, you do. Sure. 80-person raid where everyone jumps in.
I fought Hogger before.
Yeah, basically, right. You're at the Hogger level at that point. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's been kind of fun to jump in. She's very, like, easily overwhelmed by that massive, ridiculous game. And so I try to give her little bits of information at a time. Being an experienced player, I kind of know it all. But I think that that is nice. I hope I'm not making people too lonely if they don't have this going on. But like, having somebody who, a game that you can play with somebody, and it's like, I could have been level like 50 by now if I was just rolling through it. But I like kind of, you know, walking with her through things and like playing, and both of us dying and being like, well, we got to kill those fuckers now.
Right.
It's kind of a rewarding experience that I've never really had before, like sitting next to someone, like you're saying, and sharing it with them like that. That's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. That's a holiday thing too, I think. That's a Christmas spirit right there. Also, during the break, I don't want to go, if you had something to say, we can keep talking about that. But you mentioned that you wanted to go back to Smash, and I'm always down for that.
Oh, yeah. So that's actually what I was going to bring up, was that I feel bad that I ended the Smash conversation pretty early. The one thing that I do feel like we definitely need to touch on is, with the new Smash coming out, all of the characters coming back, plus the new characters, like, what are our favorite characters in Smash? So if you had 2 minutes to say what your favorite character is in Smash, what would they be?
Inkling. She's pretty dope. Mostly the only one I've played. She's pretty dope.
Inkling.
That's my 2 minutes.
Huh.
She's a bitch.
But I did have trouble. I think you have to completely run out of ink before you can refill it. And I kept wanting to refill it when I was like almost empty. And then I got killed many times while I was like sitting there pressing the wrong
button. Honestly, I haven't played much of Inkling, so I don't really know that much about Inkling. I mean, I've fought Inkling 1,000 times, I feel like, but I haven't played them. So like fighting them is one thing, but actually playing them and getting like the controls down is totally different.
That damn side special where she just locks you in the ground.
She rolls over you with a giant paintbrush.
And you're just like, okay, I guess I'll put my controller down and stop playing.
It does piss me off when my character's covered in ink because it, like, adds insult to injury. Like, I know you got me. I know you got me. Stop showing me.
No doubt. Well, I always, when I talk about fighting games, everyone who's like, oh, man, you should have teched there and then punished him and said all that shit, I have no idea what any of it means. Whereas I'm like, Ike, big sword, kill people, big lot people. Then that's, I love it. He just has, Ike is my guy, because any game I just play like the big two-handed motherfucker, and he just swings this 45-pound sword side to side, and anyone who's near him, he's just like, no, you're completely dead. 40% health, completely dead. Not a chance.
I love in this game when you have somebody at high enough damage, it does like the critical slow-mo
thing.
Yeah,
like the
like
zoom
before,
in.
You always heard the ka-ching when like Jigglypuff did the sleep or Luigi did his uppercut thing. But in this, it's like, oh, they're at 150%. Here's a big sword swing. And you're like, yeah, that should kill him.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying when the game gives you that zoom in slow-mo, like,
well,
final hit.
That's one of the things I love about the game, because it does bring a lot of nostalgia back. Because I remember playing on N64 with like my brothers and my friends. We played that game so much that we knew when you got hit with something that you were out. So it was almost like a race to see who would hit the pause button, because when you hit the pause button, they probably do this in all of the other games, but in N64, like when you hit the pause button, it would zoom in on your character and you could literally rotate 360 around your character. So you would see the person hitting you and you're like getting ready to just rocket off the map. And then that was the time for like the person punching you to be like, oh, well, game over, bitch. You know, like,
right.
And you'd spend like...
I'm so sad you just told me about this, and I missed so many opportunities. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, like, now when it zooms in, it brings that back, and I'm like, yes!
Cool.
You know, like, it's very, very satisfying.
Who is your person?
So, my favorite character right now is Ridley, and...
I've been very curious about
I love it. So... I almost, like, I was worried about Ridley, because when I knew that they were making Ridley as a character, I was like, I was all in. I was like, Ridley is going to be my favorite character. And then I was like, oh, what if I play Ridley and it sucks? You know, like, I was really worried about it. And then we unlocked it at John's house, and I was playing, and I was like, oh, this character is kind of hard. Like, there's a lot of stuff with Ridley that is very different. Like, the whole, like, tail attack, you have to time it perfectly. The down B is the tail attack, and if you aren't timing it perfectly, you are fucked. But if you nail it, it's like a ton of damage right away. Problem is, it's not knockout damage, so they're not gonna like shoot them off the screen, but you can really bring up that power gauge so that you can do literally anything else with Ridley and kill them. So I'm glad that after playing Ridley, I enjoy it. I bought an amiibo for like one of the first times ever. I don't know if they sell the Ridley amiibo in the United States, so I had to like order it online and wait for it. And I'm like, I have it at home. I haven't used it yet, but I'm like, okay, I'm an adult. I'm going to take a toy that I just bought and put it on my controller, and we're going to play with the toy, you know, like, but I'm excited for it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I have no idea how those even work. I've considered buying them just to like figure out what the hell is going on with it. But yeah, I don't even
know. Sounds cool. Like you buy the amiibo and then like you can link it up to your account or whatever and level them up and give them different abilities that they wouldn't get normally in the game. So it kind of personalizes it. So, but I'm saying all of this without ever actually using the amiibo, so I don't really know exactly what it's going to do yet. But I was like, whatever, I'm invested in this game now. I'll try it out.
Yeah,
I was madly disappointed. The one character that I was probably looking forward to the most making a comeback for this game was Mewtwo, because no one ever really played him that I know of in Melee except me, and I love him because he would teleport. All of his shit was like so shifty. And you'd be like, okay, where did, oh man, he's like way behind me. He didn't do any damage. So you could make a miss like 15 times, hit him a couple times, make a miss 15 times, hit him a couple times, and they hit you once. You're like, crap, mm-hmm. we're back to the same square.
Yeah.
But I loved doing that because it was kind of a challenge, and it was also really insulting to lose to Mewtwo too, because you're just like swinging, 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 and then you're dead. They made him so basic in this game. They made him just, I mean, he might be a little more shifty than most people, but now he's just like, he hits a little harder. He shifts a little less. Mm. He's basically just like a Lucario Part 2 type of thing. And I'm like,
That is probably, well, okay. I say it's a complaint, but really they've given us so many characters in this game that I can't complain too much. But there are like, I love Samus. So when I play Samus, when I saw that Dark Samus was a thing, and maybe Dark Samus has been a thing in the previous games, I'm not really sure. I can't remember if that's a brand new one or not. But I played a Dark Samus. I
never played Smash 4, so.
So we unlocked Dark Samus, and I was like, oh, what's different? And it's like, it's not the exact same character, but it's the exact same character. Like, there's maybe like one or two minute differences. And it's like, okay, like, I'm glad you released it, but why? Like,
but why
then? Why? Why would you spend all this time to, like, do all the animations for this character and not really change anything that much? Like,
because they already did all the animations for that
character. Yeah, pretty much. Like, all they did was, like, kind of make her armor look a little bit more alien-like. And then, like, they're like, yeah, this is a new character. Have fun. Like, the missiles are slightly different, kind of.
And they've done that, though. I mean, they've always kind of reskinned people. I mean, like, think even the first one, Mario and Luigi were
pretty close.
And then, obviously, like, Dr. Mario. Wait,
are they related?
I think there's some lore on that. I don't know.
You if you've seen the live action, you would know.
That's true. It's like Lucario and Mewtwo. It was like, wait a minute, why did you make Lucario, and also why didn't you have Mewtwo again?
Yeah.
You know, but it's gone through different iterations, but here we are now, and they just have everybody.
Yeah, and so, you know, at the end of the day, fuck it, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm glad you brought them all back. I don't care that much. Like, you've given me so many characters that if I am upset about one, I can try 45 different other ones and, like, be happy, you know? So
probably never be happy because I can't beat anyone. Although I will say I was as happy as I was to see Ike be created in the second one, or whatever, third Brawl, I guess is what it was. Bringing back Roy this game has been awesome because we're talking about satisfying that landing that big old stupid Charge B explosion, if you can ever do it, and just sending somebody fucking flying. Yep. It doesn't matter. Bowser 0%. You just destroy them with that thing. I love that. And of course, you know, if you land that, that means you're cherry picking noob asshole. But like, it still feels fantastic when it does happen.
And who cares? The matches are like 2 minutes long. Yeah, anyways, right. So it doesn't matter. Like, you get your ass kicked in a match. It's like, okay, well, I gotta deal with this for a full 45 seconds. You know,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. It's been fun. Thanks, everybody. I love you all, I guess. I don't know.
You're welcome, and I love you.
Gamer Heroes is part of the Heroes Podcast Network and hosted by GGKC. You can find our episodes at heroespodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and tons of other podcast apps. Follow us online at Gamer Heroes Pod and at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter, or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also find us on GGKC Facebook page and our website, gg-kc.com. To all you gamers out there, play nice, play well, and play again. See you next week.